You'll open your Bibles to the Gospel of John. We're going to look at a couple passages this morning. John 8:44. You put your finger there and then jump back to John 17:21. 17:21. If you take notes, I've entitled it Spiritual Connections. Spiritual Connections. Before we look at our text, just let's ask the Holy Spirit to walk amongst us and open our hearts. Father God, we do ask that you send your Spirit to walk amongst us. Pray that he would speak to every heart, every life. And if there be one here today, Lord, who knows not Christ as Savior, we do pray, Father, that today would be the day of their salvation, that you would be willing to draw them to yourself through the preaching of your word. We thank you, Father, for all the gifts you give us, especially that of enlightenment, that we can understand. Help us to understand and help us to leave this place with a blessing that we can use in our life or share with another life. All this we ask in Christ's name and for your glory. Amen. To text, first one, John 8:44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. Short, sweet, meat and potatoes, right to the point. And then John 17:21. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Of course, Jesus here is talking about his church, and the unity of the church, and the church being in him, and the Father being in him, in one body. Now, as you have heard me tell you many, many times, everything in this life has a spiritual connection. There's not one thing that goes on in this life that is not connected spiritually to something else. Not one thing. Every decision, every viewpoint, every act, every conversation, and every intentions of our hearts are spiritually connected. I have a proof verse for that. Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. So please make no mistake about it. Everything in this life has a spiritual connection. With that in mind, I'd like to make a couple of points about these two passages. I'm not going to get into them and delve into them. I'm going to just point out a few simple things that I pray that you will be able to use and that might be able to help you in your walk with Christ. The first point is that these verses demonstrate that freedom is really an illusion. I want to say that again. Freedom is an illusion. One of the great lies humans have deceived themselves in believing is that they need to be free. They want to be their own master. Chart their own lives. They want to do their own thing, and they don't want anybody to tell them what to do. They want to be under no authority at all. How do we know that's true? Children, look at little kids. Little kids have a natural heart because they're born with original sin. And we see in them that they want to cast off the bands of parents. I watch children all the time because they are perfect for understanding spiritual insight. And it's a couple of things stuck in my mind. I once saw this man walking across the street with this little girl. She was about Rebecca's age. And it was a busy street. And I watched because I was at a red light, and she got really close to her dad, and he not only held his hand, but she hugged his arm. And when he started walking, she was in step with him and walked, and she wouldn't let go of that arm for nothing. And a couple days later, at the same place, I see this child who's maybe a couple years older than that. And mom's grabbing his hand. It's a busy intersection. He's doing this. No, I'm big. I can do this. No authority. He didn't want to listen. The natural man, the natural heart is revealed in children. We see that because they haven't learned to hide it yet. They haven't learned to mask it yet. But it's there. It's accurate to say, when we look at rebellion, it's accurate to say that rebellion against authority began in the Garden of Eden. It's not a new thing. It's been going on since Eden. In chapters 1 and 2, what did God say? Everything was good. Why? Because there was only one will in the Garden of Eden in chapters 1 and 2. God's will, and his will was perfect, so everything in the Garden of Eden was perfect. There was no death. There was no pain. There was no sorrow. There was no sickness or sin. There was no heartache. Everything was perfect because man obeyed God's two laws. Love the Lord your God and keep your hands off that forbidden fruit. It was perfect. And as long as Adam and Eve obeyed those two commands, the world and everything in it belonged to them. They had literally, they had the whole world. But as we all know, in chapter 3, something happened. The devil beguiled Eve, and she believed his word over God's word. Is that what happened? She believed what he was saying instead of what God told her. And that led her to disobey God and to entice Adam to doubt God's word as well. The result of Adam's disobedience in the Garden of Eden was that the world he was given, God took it back. You're not going to have that world. He kicked him out of the garden. He fell from God's grace, threw him out of paradise. And then he sentenced him to physical death. And he was spiritually dead to God after that. He no longer walked with him in the cool of the day. And the imputation of sin and the evil desire to be free from God was passed on from every generation from then on to this very present generation today. Our little sister, Nava, and even Shana's unborn baby will come into this world wanting freedom because it comes from the garden. I have a proof verse for that. That rebellion, disobedience, and freedom is generational. Romans 3:10 and 11. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understand. There is none that seeketh after God. And then if you go to Psalm 2, verses 2 and 3, they actually prove, the psalmist David proves, man wants to be free from God. Listen to what he wrote. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. In the very beginning, man has wanted to be free from God, free from all authority. However, that being said, the fact is, man never can and never will be a free agent. Simply because he's a created being. He's subject to something. And that brings me to the second point. The second point, the scripture says there are only two spiritual connections man can be connected to. You can be connected to a lot of things. You can be connected to an Elks club. You can be connected to a golf club, a bowling alley. You can be connected to AAA. I don't care. But in a spiritual realm, there's only two things you can be connected to. The devil or God. It's that simple. Our first text reveals that Satan is one of the two spiritual connections. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. John 8:44. And the second one teaches us that Jesus Christ is the other spiritual connection. That they may all be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. That's a spiritual connection. John 17:21. And scripture makes it abundantly clear. Unless Andrew can find something wrong with it. That there is no third connection in the spiritual realm. There's none. It's God or the devil. There are no neutral connections. There are no people there saying, well, Here's a connector. And here's where this connects to us right here. This is the wires right here. I just say, let's see, is there a neutral connection here I can plug myself into? There's got to be. Well, I'll wait around for it. There is none. There's no neutral connections. There's no semi-connections. Well, I'm going to plug it in here and take it out for a while, plug it in and take it. None of that. There's no pantheistic connections. You can't take a spiritual connection that's in your heart and plug it into a tree or a rock or a cow. You can't do it. The biblical fact is your soul is either connected to the devil or God's glory. Period. That's it. Now, some people find that hard to believe because a lot of people believe that they are spiritually connected to all these different things. This thing has a fitting, and it only fits one thing, an outlet. And spiritually speaking, your outlet can be fitted only into God or the devil. It's that simple. And looking at our first text, Jesus tells the unsaved believers in John 8:44, these were the people that they called them believers because they believed in the miracles. They didn't believe he was the Son of God. They were unsaved believers. He's telling those that are trying to kill him, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was telling them that they were spiritually connected to their father, the devil. Now, Satan is considered the spiritual father or spiritual connection to all of Adam's children because his temptation is what caused man to sin. And Romans 5:12 tells us Adam's sin has been passed down to every generation. We talked about there. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Sin is universal because it's generational. That means Adam's original sin was imputed to you and I and to every child of Adam. So we come into this world already with this cord connected to us. It's attached to our hearts, just like this. And that means Satan is the first spiritual connection every one of us is connected to because of original sin. We're connected to him. And we know that's obvious. We see it because we see it in small children. You know, mothers don't have to teach their kids to be bad. They're born that way. As beautiful as they are and as much as we love them, you have to tame a child. You do. You have to teach them not to bite, not to steal, not to lie. You have to basically teach them the Ten Commandments. So we come into this world already with a connection to the devil. And then, from the age of accountability, that is from when a child grows up to understand God and know what sin is, until death, unless God calls them out of that spiritual darkness, but throughout their whole life, if God doesn't call them, they are spiritually connected to Satan, the God of this world. How do we know that's true? Because God says it is. Ephesians 2:2-3. Paul writes, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, that would be Satan, according to the prince of the power of the air, Satan, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. He includes himself in that verse. We're all connected when we come into this world because of sin. We're all connected to the devil. And further proof of this spiritual connection to Satan is seen in 2 Timothy 2:26. Here Paul instructs Timothy to be patient when he's speaking to the lost or to the sinner so that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. And here it comes, who are taken captive by him at his will. That simply means that Satan, in the world, people that are not saved, he takes them at his will. They capture them. He captures them. Now, I have to tell you, being spiritually connected to Satan is more than just being saddled with the black sheep of the family. It's a little more than that. Our text says, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you'll do. That means everyone who was spiritually connected to the devil shares his desires. And isn't that true? For those of you that know Christ as your Savior, think back. Think back to before you were saved. And then now think of your Bible and think of what you did and how what you did before you were saved was more in line to being connected with Satan than it was with God. It's that simple. You know it yourself. Our text says you are the father of the devil and the lust of your father you will do. Unfortunately, that also includes most of the population of the world. It's sad to say that, but it is. I don't know if there was ever a time when the majority of the world, I don't think so, where the majority of the world was plugged into God, connected to God. I don't think so. I believe it's always been man has been connected to the devil. The great population of the earth is connected to him. And we can see that just as clearly. Current events display the spiritual connection the world has with Satan. Satan hates God. We know that's true. The world hates God. John 15:18. If the world hates you, you know, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. The world hates God. Romans 8:7. The carnal man is enmity against God. And everybody that's outside of Christ is carnal. It's hostile to God. Another way we know is Satan is a murderer. The Bible calls him a murderer. And the world is filled with murder. 1 John 3:15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. You don't have to go out with a gun, biblically, to be a murderer. You just have to hate people. And all you have to do is turn on the internet or turn on the news and you'll see the hatred that's in our... You see the hatred that's in our country. You see the hatred that's in our politics. And these are some of these people call themselves Christians. And they hate. And the only thing that's lacking that I see is gnashing of the teeth on those they hate. And that's murder. And how about Satan inflicting disease? Did he not inflict disease? Did he not throw that young boy down and cast him into the fire until Jesus cast the demon out of him? Well, dictators today, they use biological weapons to destroy their people. Does that sound like that person would be connected to God? No. The sad state of affairs that our world is in proves that the world, the majority of the world is plugged into Satan. As a matter of fact, all of us sitting here today were plugged into Satan at one time. It was only by grace that we were called out, that we were transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved son. It was only by his grace. The world is a perfect portrait, the perfect portrait of the spiritual connection unsaved man has with the devil. And it's sad to say, much of the evangelical church also shares a spiritual connection to Satan. It's hard for me to stand here and say that, but it's true. Right now, there are millions of people worshiping a God outside of this book. There's books in every pew. There's guys who are using the words that come from this book, but they're teaching all manner of heresies. Their connection isn't to this book and God or the Son of God. Their connection is to the God of this world, the devil. And it's in the church. I tell you, Satan has never missed a Sunday to be in church. Never. Satan is a deceiver. Liberal theology that permeates our church is deception. The Bible says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Do we not see that in the evangelical church today? Satan is a roaring lion, the Bible says, looking to destroy. Church pulpits today are not a whole lot different. Many of them are filled with wolves in sheep's clothing, destroying, misleading. Matthew 7:15, Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." They were doing it then and they're still doing it now. And Satan hates God's doctrine. He absolutely hates the truth. So his ministers in the church, in the evangelical church, replace them. Matthew 15:9, Jesus said, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching the doctrines and commandments of men." How many times have we heard or seen or been with people who have these strange doctrines that have nothing to do with the Bible? It's in the evangelical church. I dare say that the church that's called the evangelical church, that is professing Christians, has never been in as low a state as it is now. If you read the back of your bulletin, a well-versed theologian, preacher, teacher, A.W. Tozer wrote, "I wonder if there was ever a time when true spiritual worship was at a lower ebb. To great sections of the church, the art of worship has been lost entirely, and in its place has come that strange and foreign thing called the program. This word has been borrowed from the stage and applied with sad wisdom to the public service, which now passes for worship among us." That was written many decades ago. And I know that if Brother Tozer was with us today, he would erase all of that and he would have a more vivid argument about the church today. And on a personal level, the spiritual connection to Satan has a meaning for on a personal level as well. Here's why. Talking about those outside of Christ, those that have a spiritual connection to Satan. Every pitfall in life is a tragedy. It's a tragedy every time something bad happens to somebody that's connected to the devil. Why? Because there's no reason for it. It serves no purpose. None. It means there's no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. There's no peace. That's part and parcel of being connected to Satan. There's no peace. Isaiah 48:22. Being spiritually connected to Satan means you are strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Ephesians 2:12. Listen, you can call yourself a Christian, but if you're not worshiping the biblical Christ, we talked about that this morning Bible study. Read Ephesians 1, start in verse 12. You'll see, God doesn't accept that. He doesn't accept anything that he doesn't prescribe. And please, don't ever think that we go to church or we do anything because it helps God out. God doesn't need anything from us. Everything we do, believe it or not, is really for us. Everything he tells us to do is for our benefit. He gains nothing out of it. Why? Because he wants to sanctify you. He wants to make you the object of his love. And because he's a holy, righteous God, you have to behave a certain way. And he's given you everything you need to do that. And finally, it means being connected to Satan. The spiritual connection to Satan means spending eternity with Satan in the lake of fire. Matthew 25:41. "Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Those are the personal things that happen to every soul that has a spiritual connection to Lucifer, the devil. Now, if you're listening to this message and you are still spiritually connected to Satan, what are you going to do? What will you do? You can choose not to believe anything I said or what God says. You can choose to do that. You can continue to deceive yourself by ignoring the message, walking out, humming, or whatever, to get it out of your mind. You could do that. Or you can feel your heart being stirred. If you feel your heart being stirred, you see me, or if you're listening online, you call me, and I'll show you in His Word how He can disconnect your connection with the devil and reconnect you to His Son, Jesus Christ. You call me. And those that have ears to hear, let them hear. The second text, and this is the one I'll finish with. The second text, it reveals the only other spiritual connection man has. In His great priestly prayer, Jesus prayed, He prayed, this is a prayer, that they all may be one as Thou, Father, art in me and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us. One. How many times have we talked about one God, one truth, one doctrine, one body? That's everything. He's speaking about the church in our text, being in one body, in us, Father, Son, and indwelling Holy Ghost. Every single person that makes a spiritual connection to Jesus Christ has made a spiritual connection to the entire Godhead, not just Christ. That is, every soul that is in Christ is spiritually connected to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Proof verse, John 20:17. Jesus told Mary Magdalene, go to my brethren. I love that verse. Go to my brethren. Calls us His brethren. I love that. And say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Jesus, the God-man, was telling us, it's my Father and my God, and it's the same Father and the same God that His brethren have. Man, I could leave here with that and I'm good. That's good. And I would also add, to be spiritually connected to God, and this is important, you can only be connected to God once you're disconnected from Satan by invitation. You just can't say, well, you know what, I think I'll choose God, because the Bible says there's none who seek after Him. We read that earlier. It's by invitation only. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Scripture clearly declares that those who are spiritually connected to God were chosen and elected before the worlds were formed. You can look that up in Ephesians 1:4. And in calling us out to be spiritually connected to Christ, and that's exactly what happened. You see, I was going through my life, I can speak for myself, and I was like this. I was plugged into Satan and going through my life, and at the same time I said, you know, that's okay, let me plug myself into myself. And then I go back to Satan. It was either me or him. And that's how I went through my life. And what God did was He pulled the plug, it went limp, and He said, come, you are heavy laden, come to me. And I did. And He took this cord and He plugged it in. And from that day forward, my life hasn't been the same. And if you had that experience, your life hasn't been the same. Now that cord is plugged in there because it was taken out from the connection you had to Satan, and it was replaced by plugging it into Jesus Christ. Scripture declares that He did that before the worlds were formed. It's called the Book of Life. You can look that up in a concordance and you'll see that that's how we know we were called. In calling us out, he not only disconnected us from Satan and connected us to Christ, God has blessed us. He's given us, I gave out a sheet of 30 gifts. Well, I'm going to mention a few of them. He's given us a new heart. A new heart. Everybody here, me, before I got saved, my heart isn't the same as it was before. A new heart, Ezekiel 36:26. He made us a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. He's given us the Holy Spirit to indwell us. Ezekiel 36:27. He's opened our eyes and set us free. If you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The freedom we have is in Christ. It's not that we're free on our own, but we're free from the bondage of sin. And not only did he open our eyes or indwell us, he opened our eyes in John 8:32. He's given us eternal life in John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And if that was enough, man, I'm good. But there's more. The promises, the Bible is just packed with promises. Promises, Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Our sins are forgiven, Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That one thing alone, imagine all the pain and suffering people go through every day because their sins are not forgiven. They're so caught up in guilt because they're plugged into the wrong thing. And I don't care how hard you try, you will never convince a person to get saved, ever. Either God does the job, or they stay plugged in where they are. It's that simple. And what about Ephesians 1:3? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And that it just doesn't stop. There's just one more. I can't help myself. And God has promised that no matter what the problem, circumstance, or situation is, I don't care what happens in your life. I don't care what it is. I don't care if you have a near-death experience and you come back and you can't speak, you can't see. I don't care if you have $1 billion. I don't care about anything. Scripture promises us that no matter what happens in your life, you really can't make a bad decision because it's all going to work out for your good. Romans 8:28. No matter what it is. So when we sit here and we say, oh, Lord, I have this problem and I have that problem. No, it's not a problem. If you're plugged into God, if you've got this thing and it's snugged in there, every problem that comes up in your life is an opportunity. You have an opportunity to grow, to honor God, to please him. You have an opportunity to help another life, another soul. That's what we're here for. Is that not what our master and exemplar did? Did he not leave us that example? If we're to love our enemies, certainly we can love people in our family that we don't like or don't like us. We can do it because we have within us another promise. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is just a sampling. I mean, I didn't even take the cover completely off. A sampling of the blessings that God has given us to those who are spiritually connected to Christ. That being said, and here it comes. That being said, it's important to note that those who have a spiritual connection to God and expect to be blessed. Now, I have to stop here for a second. I'm going to put my finger there. There are many Christians that I've come across who don't want to be blessed, I guess. Because because they know what they should do and they decide they don't want to do it. And God will not bless that person, even if he's connected to Christ. And if they expect to be blessed, there's one thing. You must keep this cord plugged in tightly. I think there's a hymn that my brother Wink talks about. I'm prone to wander. Well, I got to tell you something. Even when you're plugged into Christ, you have the tendency of wanting to wander away, and you put a little stress on that plug. And you know what happens when you do it in the house? It sparks. Well, what happens when you do it, when you're plugged into Christ, is that you lose a little power. You don't have the same faith. You don't have the same joy. Your hope doesn't seem to be as bright. You got to plug it in tightly. A loose spiritual connection with God causes a power loss, and things that loosen the spiritual connection to God, what are they? We all know what they are, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Lack of Bible study, that loosens that connection. Lack of fellowship with the saints, lack of a good solid prayer life, not putting God above all things, not making him the main event, but making him a sideshow in your life. That's terrible. That really loosens it up. Getting friendly with the world, getting friendly with electronics, not having time for God. All those things are doing this on that cord. It's pulling on them. And you're losing power. Coddling sin, harboring guilt. All of these things loosen this cord. It's a metaphor for your closeness to God. Listen, God said that he wanted a personal relationship with you. He doesn't want me to pray for you. He wants you to pray for you. We get together corporately, we do that. He wants you, and he wants you personally. He doesn't want us as a group, but individually we're all to have a personal relationship with him. And if you're going to do that, I tell you, this cord isn't very long. God doesn't give any of his people a long cord. He doesn't. It's a short cord. You know why? Because he wants you to stay close to him. Because if you get away from him, guess what? You're going to take this thing and you're going to try to plug it back into yourself. And you know what happens when you do that. If you want to keep this cord plugged into the connection you have with the Savior, I can give you a verse. I can give you Psalm 1. That tells you what you must do if you want to keep your spiritual connection plugged tightly into God. Thus saith the Lord. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's the secret to keeping yourself plugged in and staying close to Christ. In closing, I dare say that the elusive freedom that all men seek is less than nothing. It's less than nothing, if they could even achieve it. It's less than nothing compared to the blessings all God's children have in Jesus Christ. So go home, brethren. Go home and check your spiritual connection to God and make sure you got it plugged in tight. Then rejoice, because in doing that, you have more freedom. You have more than freedom. You have the connection to the sovereign God of the entire universe. That's yours. All you have to do is claim it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for connecting us to you with a short cord. Because, Lord, we do need to be kept near you. We do tend to wander. Father, would you let us leave this place? And, Lord, not just think about the cord, but think about the relationship. Help us to think about, Lord, how and what you've done for us and how you did it, just so that we could be plugged into you. And God, you even called us. There are so many people in the world. I keep thinking of that verse, not keep thinking, but occasionally think of that verse where Paul wanted to go to Asia, Lord, and your spirit said no. And as a result, all those people never got to be unplugged from Satan. And that's even true to this day. And so, God, all of us sitting here, or most of us sitting here, Lord, that know Christ as our Savior, we got the message and we became unhooked from Satan and plugged into you. Would you help us to go from this day forward and glorify you just with the idea that you would be willing to do that for creatures so undeserving as us? We ask it for your glory and our good. And as always, dear Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Our closing prayer, our closing hymn, read hymn.